He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla. And in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, mama, and tell me what he's been to you.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast. Brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church. Pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II. One church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all.
People of God, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. God has smiled on me. He has set me free. Can you say that today? God has smiled on me. One more time like you mean it. Oh, God. God has. Oh, he has set me free. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you afresh now for this opportunity to share your word. May the Holy Ghost and his perfect teaching, preaching ministry meet us in this task. Minister to our hearts. Lift us to the place you'd have us to be. Give us insight, illumination, and understanding. We pray, Lord God, that you would receive all the glory as you bless us with the good. In Jesus' name we pray, and the people of God said, amen. God bless you. Turn your Bibles to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. And the Word of God says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. May the Lord bless the reading, the hearers and doers of his holy word. This word we have from Paul gives us insight about this book we call the Bible, the holy word, the holy writ of God, the place where the believer discovers the mind of God. For within the pages of the Holy Word, God shares with us his thoughts. God shares with us his commandments. God shares with us his statutes. God gives to us all things necessary to understand how he operates. It's so important, so much so that from the beginning of time, the enemy has tried to distort the Word of God. God told Adam that there was a tree in the midst of the garden that he should not touch, should not eat, or he would surely die. The serpent comes along, and after knowing what God had said to Adam, the serpent beguiles Eve and she beguiles Adam. But he says, if you eat of the fruit, listen now at what he says, ye shall not surely die. Now God says, you'll die. The serpent says, you won't surely die. So when Eve ate of the fruit and didn't die, it seemed like the serpent was telling the truth. And it was she who presented the fruit to Adam. And Adam ate, and he did not drop dead. But what they did not understand was the moment they both ate, they spiritually died and commenced their body to physically die. The moment they ate that food, that fruit, that was corrupt to their system, and their bodies began decaying from that very moment on until death had finally caught up with them. And all through time, Satan has tried to pervert the word of God, has tried to disguise and fool, twist and turn the word of God. And the Bible says that God's people perish for a lack of knowledge, not just a lack of volume of knowledge, but of quality understanding of knowledge. Whole lot of us know scripture and can't interpret one. We can quote it and say what it says. We can go to it and we can read it, but do we really have the understanding of what it means? And so many of us do not have the understanding that's necessary to be, to do, to walk in authority of that word, because we have allowed the enemy to hoodwink us and to keep us from studying to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Listen, you've got to get into the word like the Bereans and check it out for yourself, so for yourself you can say, I know it because I read it, I studied it, and I understand it, not just because somebody told me about it. How can you go to school and say you're going to learn and don't bring a textbook? I know you got your textbook, the Bible. I know you got it here. I know you got it. Well, some may say, well, I'm in this new technological age. I got my Bible on my phone. Okay, that's good. You got your Bible. Well, I got my Bible on my iPad. I got my Bible on my this, that. That's all fine and good. It don't matter where your Bible is. If it isn't in your heart, you still don't have no Bible. Some of us spend more time in everything else that may entertain us and give to us some understanding even of the world system. And there's a world of knowledge on the internet, but not all of that is good for us. And yet we spend more time on the internet than we ever spend studying the word of God. And we're gonna have to give an account. There's a day coming, my brothers and sisters, you know not of, where you will desire to have a Bible, to be able to read a Bible, to understand the Bible, to have a Bible preached to you. And if that word is not in your heart, it won't do you any good. You don't know the situations and circumstances that are before you. That's why you have a chance. You ought to study his word. Spend time in his word. Meditate upon his word day and night. You do everything else. You got time to read papers, read magazines, read this, read that. You got time to have your face in a book, but it ain't this book. You got time to tweet and to instant message and all of that stuff, but you don't make time to spend with God. It is sad, my brothers and sisters, how so many godly people put their lives on Facebook. Facebook gonna carry a whole lot of you straight to hell. And it's also gonna reveal the hell that you're living right here and right now. It amazes me how some folk I thought were intelligent. Some folk I thought I gave much more credit till I heard some of the stuff they put on Facebook. Listen, it's a tool, an instrument that can be used for good or for bad. It's not all, it's how you use that information. It's how you use those tools. And we choose to fall in. I ain't got time to be tweeting nobody, I'm eating a pickle. I'm buying a ticket. I'm watching Gomer Pyle. All that crazy stuff. Why not tweet a prayer? Why not pray for somebody? Why not see how somebody is doing? Why not say, I didn't see somebody in church and I'm looking for you. I hope all is well. Why not use it for good? But we get on there, we can't tell the stories we heard in the word, but we can get on there and talk about what they're doing on Empire. And being Mary Jane and the number one favor, what is it? Who? Scandal, yes, scandal. Not anything meaningful and worthwhile, not something that's going to help folks, but only perpetuate the mess that's already going in the world. And I'm talking about Christians. The way we talk about one another is scandalous. I've had to sit back and ask God to help our people. Just put too much business in the world system. All right, I'm gonna move on now. Anyway, you got to understand how we are sucked into the world's information age and entertainment. And yet, we're pulled away from the time that's needful to be spent in the Word of God, communing with God. And so, first thing I want you to know about what Paul says is that all Scripture, not some Scripture, not a piece or a part of Scripture, but all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. So the first thing I want us to see is inspiration. This inspiration, though God has used many authors, as it were, to pen what he said, use them to deliver his thoughts into writing. He's used many. The truth of the matter is all of it has come because he's breathed upon them. He has given them inspiration to receive those words from him to record for us. God uses men. He used holy men to deliver his word and to put it in written form so we would have a record of God's word, God's will, and God's way. He used holy men by inspiration. Somebody say inspiration. Inspiration is God breathing on them and giving them a specific message for specific people at a specific time, and put all of this together so that we might have what we call the Bible, a collection of books, a collection of God's words brought together and put in one place so that we might study it to know God better. What is this inspiration for? Listen at what it says. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Of God. By God. From God. All right. So keep the focus right. It's God's word. God's word. All men are messengers. You don't like the message, talk with the one who gave it, not the one who delivered it. The deliverer of the message can't change what's written, only the one who gave the message. And so it is God's word, not the messenger's word. And many of the old prophets suffered greatly, and even many today and in today's times and in many countries suffer because they kill the messenger because they don't like the message. Many times, even in our modern churches today, even right here at the Greater King David Baptist Church, I've had some fine members get mad at me because of the message. Here was the bad thing about it. This message God gave me to give to them was right in their own Bible. Proof that it wasn't mine. But they had enough sense not to get mad with God, but to turn their anger at me. Until God, like Jeremiah, made my head harder and made my eyes stronger. So when they roll their eyes, I look back at them and let them roll them till they roll them in the back of their head. It don't matter to me because it's not me they're mad with, it's God. See, when you stop taking it personally and start feeling, well, they're doing this. No, they ain't doing it to me. They're doing it to God. But listen what God told them. If they wouldn't hear me, they won't hear you. But the reason I'm telling you to tell them again is so that I might have a record that they will know that I tried to reach them. And they can't say, well, Lord, I didn't know. I didn't hear it. Nobody told me. The devil is. Yeah, and you are too if you try and say that you didn't know. But the problem is that he's got some prophets and some preachers and some people who are more concerned about entertaining than edifying. He's got some preachers and pastors and people who's more afraid about being politically correct than calling it what God calls it. God calls it sin. God calls it backsliding. Whatever it is God calls it, that's what we call. But when we're politically correct, we have alternative names for it to make it sound easier so the blow don't seem like it's a blow. It seems like it's a tap. So that I don't offend anybody because this is what thus said the Lord. Well, I got news for you. If you don't want to hear what thus say the Lord, go somewhere else. It's ludicrous to think that you'll come to this house and don't hear his word. I ain't got time to make up and fabricate and look politically at what words sound best to make up for this, because you is what you is. And you ain't what you ain't. And I got to call it like I see it. And every true man or woman of God, listen, would rather you be mad with them than God be mad with them. I'm going to show you it's all right here. Keep on staying with me. Stay with me. Stay with me. I'm trying to hurry up before I make you too mad. So the first thing we know is inspiration. It comes from God. Comes from God. But the purpose that God gave this inspiration is for information. For information. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction. In what?
Righteousness.
In righteousness. How can folk who are unrighteous beings only became saved and righteous by the blood of Jesus Christ and became a member of God's family through his son, no righteousness except God show them righteousness. Teach them righteousness. They live in an unrighteous world. How is the world going to teach them righteousness? The world can't. So if you are now saved and born again, you need to be in an atmosphere and an environment and a teaching structure to understand the righteousness of God.
Amen. Yeah.
You've got to be in a place where doctrine, the way that we're supposed to do things according to the word of God, the way that God has structured his program, we've got to get that from the word, not from tradition, not from men, not from a group of us getting together in committee meeting and coming up with what we think it ought to be and how we ought to do it, but from the holy word of God. I've been in too many committee meetings where folk who are influenced in things of the world try to bring the way they do things in the world in operation in the church. And we've had to say too many times, well, this is how we do it in this system. This is how we do it at this system. This is how we do it on a job. This is how, and you have to, no, but this ain't the job. This ain't the school system. This ain't the club. This isn't this. This is the church. God already has his instructions, his doctrine. God's already got what he wants us to do. All we've got to do is go into the book and follow it. But we've got to learn that. We've got to learn that. We get mad, and so we don't do what God says do because it's not run the way we think it ought to be run. Listen, you don't pay your tithes or you don't give your dues if folk don't do what you want them to do. Well, you belong to this group and you belong to that group, and they require dues, and when they don't do what you want them to do, you don't get mad and stop paying your dues there and think you can still be a member. Young, sit here and act holier than thou if you want to, but I know I'm right. I don't care how much you disagree with the policies and you disagree with how they do things. If you're going to stay a part of that group, you're going to have to follow what they set up as guidelines, pay your money, and shut your mouth. If they let you talk, now you've been heard, now shut your mouth. We're going to do it like we've been doing it. And you huff and puff for a minute, but you hush your mouth and you stay in there. But the church, you get mad. And you put on and you go through. Well, you know I ain't got to go through all of that. But the whole point is you can't run the church like you run any and everything else. Everything you have that's worth anything comes from the Lord. You don't have a right to control anything. That's not your position. God has called you into the kingdom for such a time as this to do your part. God has told you how his kingdom should be financed. Whether you obey it or not, that's you. That's on you. Uh-huh. Whether you get what he told you to get, that's you. You're going to deal with God on that matter, on that issue. You know, and so on and on, as it goes, how we should handle one another. And so all of that's his doctrine.
That's right.
But then reproof. This word is for reproof. Sometimes we have to handle things and deal with things, and so that we give the time to fit the crime, we've got to see what thus saith the Lord. How do we handle this? How do we deal with this? How do we correct this situation in that regard? God's got it right there in the book already. Bible says, spare the rod, spoil the child. Well, there are folk today who say that's wrong. God, your word is wrong. You know, they wanna say God is wrong about how he does it. But can I ask you a question? Is there anybody in the house who has not been spared the rod and can appreciate it now that they're grown, that mama, daddy love them enough to not let them have their own way? I told you, it took me a long time to understand. Mama, when she was straightening me out, told me it hurts her more than it hurt me. I couldn't understand that. I said, well, stop hurting yourself then. Yeah, and I get a little more hurting put on me then. But what she literally meant was, you know, I love you, you're my firstborn, all of that, but you're wrong, and if I love you, I gotta straighten you out, because if I don't straighten you out, there are some other people who will straighten you out, and they don't care if they truly hurt you, and I wanna make sure that you learn manners, correct communication, and so that you'll be able to deal with people so that you won't get hurt by disobeying laws and rules and those who are in authority. And I thank God for that today.
Amen.
For correction. The Bible makes it clear. Correction is another form of helping our people make the best of life. You don't love a child when you don't correct a child. You love a child when you say, listen, wait a minute, babe. Well, other children do it. That's other children and their parents. That's not you. You're my child. You represent me. I represent God. We're going to do it like this in this house.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
We have got to put correction at a point where, no, it does not feel good to be corrected. Nobody likes to be corrected. Not really. It goes against our human nature. But remember, God's word is geared toward helping us discover our new nature, not our old nature. And sometimes our old nature has to be dealt with in ways that don't feel good to our new nature. And so correction doesn't feel good. It's embarrassing sometimes. But if it's embarrassing, maybe you just won't do it no more. Because you're embarrassed to get, well, see, a lot of older folk had the mentality that if you act up in the street, you're going to get straightened out in the street. No, no, no. You're not going to embarrass me and then want me to wait till we get home to take care of you. If anybody's going to be embarrassed, we going to be embarrassed together, because when you embarrass me, wait a minute, one moment right here. Let's take care of this issue, because we had this discussion at home. And since you didn't want to act right after we had this discussion at home, then let me take care of this matter where you act up at. You can call whatever service and police and people and all the rest you want. If it's done decently and in order, God will defend you. And I ain't talking about being crazy. I ain't talking about taking a child, slamming up against the wall, body slamming them like a wrestler. I ain't talking about nothing crazy like that.